song. In New York, concrete jungle where dreams are made of. There's nothing you can't do. Now you're in New York. These streets will make you feel brand new, or right now your shoes soaking wet. Big lights will inspire you. Let's hear it for New York. Amen? Now that's not scripture, but in New York it's close enough, right? You know, the title of my lesson tonight is Where Dreams Are Made Of. Where Dreams Are Made Of. You know, the start of another school year is here, and the Spirit of God is with us, and the sky is the limit of what can happen for Him here. Amen? You know, this song says it, and we all believe it, that New York is a place of dreams. You know, people move here from all over the world to pursue their dreams. Do you know this? You know, people move here from all over the world to pursue their dreams on Broadway, with acting, with music, with education, with wealth, freedom, opportunity, vacation and tourism, good food, business success, and so much more. You know, you've got to recognize we live in a city of dreams. That's what New York is known for. We live in a city of dreams. But I think tonight we got to think about personally and as a group, what are you dreaming for? What are we dreaming for? Don't we have the chance to dream even bigger? Yes. Than anybody else coming here, we have a chance to dream even bigger. And there's kind of two sides to this I want to talk about. The first one briefly and then a little more in depth on the second one. And the first is that in our own personal dreams, which might be some of those things that I just listed, acting, music, education, wealth, freedom, opportunity, whatever it is, in our own personal dreams in those areas, we have the opportunity to dream even bigger because we could pull God into our dreams. That the dreams we have for our life, what we want to see happen in our lives and accomplish, we have the opportunity to pull God into our dreams with us. And the other side of that is we have the opportunity to be pulled into God's dream, which is greater and even bigger than any of our dreams. But I do want you to know that God can be part of your dream. As long as your dream is not selfish or worldly or unspiritual or succeeding in it would pull you away from God, that whatever dreams you have for your life, that God can be part of it. And that would be wise for you to even pull God into it, to make your dream for your life, to bring God into your dream for your life. You know what? I want to encourage you. I'm not going to spend long on this, but to think about that, to think about what would it look like to pull God more into the dreams that you have for your life? No, but for I think some of us, we even need to think about, are you a dreamer? Right? Regardless of if you dream for God or if you're dreaming for yourself, are you dreaming at all? Because I think some people aren't really dreaming, but are kind of just going through life sleeping. Right? I do. I meet a lot of people, especially young men, I feel like, but I interact with them more, so I don't know with women. But I meet a lot of people who I really feel like actually don't really have a whole lot of dreams for their life. Really kind of lack ambition, are unmotivated, or their dream isn't that inspiring. Right? I want to encourage you as you come up with or think about a dream for your life to really dream big. And to think about, well, what difference could my life make? You know, I do think we've got to connect with the fact that we really only live one life, and you want to make it count for something. You know, we live somewhere where we can make it count for a lot. There's a lot of opportunity. You know, this was kind of a wake-up call for me. I grew up in a small farm town in West New Jersey. My class was 26 people, my whole grade, right? My high school was four towns put together, and my grade was about 125. So I grew up in this small town, and I didn't think about or know much about the rest of the world. Right? I didn't have much dreams for my life. My dreams were only about me. My primary dream was to own a duplex on the beach one day, to live in, no, for real, this is what I thought I was going to do. I'd live in one half of it and then rent the other part of the duplex, and then that would just pay my part of it, right? And so I thought I'd live on the Jersey Shore, just beach bum, right? It does sound great, doesn't it? It's not that bad. But it's not inspiring, and it doesn't accomplish much. You know, that was kind of what I was thinking to do with my life. And then I studied the Bible, and I saw how much bigger God was than I thought. Amen. how much more serious what Jesus went through on the cross really was, and how much more important my life and other people's lives really were than the way I was treating and thinking about it. You know, in 2009, I studied the Bible. I became a true Christian. I met Jesus' church, and I caught God's amazing dream for the world. And in that moment, I realized I want my life to count towards seeing as much of God's dream come true as possible. And I want to come up with some dreams for my life that God could be part of to use me for something great as well. And I'm so excited that I get to be part of God's dream in general, but I especially love getting to be part of God's dream here in New York City. You know, this New York, New Jersey metropolitan area is, in my opinion, the greatest place in the world. I have loved driving around New York City this week, just catching a vision, looking at the city from literally every angle. You know, last Friday I drove into Manhattan, and then Sunday I preached in Brooklyn, and then Tuesday I went sharing on campus in Manhattan, Wednesday Chelsea went to Queens, Thursday I went to Brooklyn, and then Staten Island, and then Friday I'm here in Manhattan again. And in all of that I drove many hours. But I got to see the city, I got to get on campus in different boroughs, meet different people from so many different places, and it just further reiterated, oh my gosh, I get to be part of the coolest thing in the world. And what I'm driving around here doing is more important than what anybody else is driving around here doing. And I called John Rodio, who is a region leader for Long Island. We grew up in that small farm town together. And I said, dude, can you believe what we get to be part of? Like, how did I go from Hope, New Jersey to this? You know, and it's just God. And you've got to see, God wants to use your life. You're here for a reason and to do something great. So dream big. Don't dream ambiguously or half-heartedly or aimlessly. Have dreams for your life and bring God into those dreams and how God can use you through those dreams. Pursue them. Make the most of the opportunity you have here. But along with that, as you pull God into your dream, we better pull into God's dream as well. Because there's a huge, amazing opportunity there. You know, as disciples of Jesus, we can pursue a dream so much bigger than any of our own, which is God's dream. You know, you can turn over to Acts chapter 5. You know, all these other dreams can be great, but they're temporary and they're limited in value and impact. But God's dreams are eternal and immeasurable. And so let's pull God into our dreams, but let's really make sure we're being pulled into God's dream. Amen? What is God's dream? You know, God's dream is to save the world. God's dream is to give people hope, to give people eternity, a new life, forgiveness of sins, to be in a right relationship with them. And through Jesus, he came and showed us that. And then he died so it would be possible for us to have that. If Jesus didn't die, we'd all just have to die for our own sins. But because Jesus died for us, now the door is open for us to be part of God's dream. Both for ourselves, but also to help others to be part of that. And then Jesus' church starts in Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. You know, Pentecost was a special Jewish holiday where people from all over the world came together in one place and God influenced them there. It was a unique opportunity. What's cool in New York is that Pentecost is happening every day. People from all over the world are coming together in one place to be influenced for God. So the church starts in Acts chapter 2, and in Acts chapter 5, we get a snapshot of the impact that the church was having. God's dream on earth being lived out. And I want you to look at the impact that the disciples were having so we can have that impact as well. Acts 5, verse 12 to 21. It says, the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders among the people. And all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by evil spirits, and all of them were healed. Then the high priest and all his associates, who were members of the party of the Sadducees, were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them in the public jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. Go stand in the temple courts, he said, and tell the people the full message of this new life. At daybreak, they entered the temple courts as they had been told and began to teach the people. And we'll keep reading this in a little bit. But you see some amazing things happening in this passage here. You know, you see many signs and wonders happening among the people. Just incredible things happening, miracles, God's Spirit working. You see unity. All the believers were meeting together at that time, and you see great unity in the church. You see a high standard, conviction, holiness, people really set apart and living for God, that they were highly regarded and no one dared join them, and yet they were growing. More and more people were having their sins forgiven. More and more people were finding God and finding a right relationship with God. The church was growing in amazing ways. We find that crowds of people were gathering, hoarding around the disciples to be impacted by them. And that people who were tormented by evil spirits or pain in their life or hurt, that they were finding hope, they were finding healing. And then we see that the church, the disciples, was the place to be. That's where people wanted to be, was around the church, around the disciples, because they were changing their lives. They were having an impact on them. We see them arrested, but then we see God protect them in a miraculous way. We see the angel break them out of jail, and we see that God's power was really what they were relying on and really what they were protected by and leaning on as they went through this. And lastly, I love this verse here where it says, "Go stand in the temple courts and tell the people all about this new life." Now, I think we got to underline, tell the people all about this new life. You know, that there's an opportunity for us, for other people, to get a new life. A life to the full. You know, an eternal life. A satisfying life, like the woman at the well, where you'll never be thirsty again. God's dream is for people to be given a new life. Don't you think people need a new life? Did you need a new life? I needed a new life. I feel like I got a new life. I think back to before I was a Christian, and I'm like, was that really the same life? The same person that did that, that thought that, that said that? Like, it really is a new life. 2 Corinthians 5. Anyone who is in Christ Jesus is a new creation. That was the first verse I memorized because I really felt it. I have a new life, and praise God for that. What is God's dream? It's for people to be given a new life, a better life, for people to be given forgiveness. Man, think how bad we need forgiveness. I mean, first of all, just from people, our parents, our friends, our siblings, strangers. Like, through God, He has a dream that people can live a life forgiven. Like, where we can wake up every day and go, you know what? I am forgiven. I'm not guilty. Nothing's counted against me. No one can condemn me. Nothing can separate me from the love that is in Christ Jesus. Like, that's your reality as a Christian. If you've been baptized into Christ, that's your reality. And that's God's dream, is for every person to wake up with mercies new every morning. Amen. Forgiveness. To give people a new life of purpose, where instead of wondering, what am I here for? Or answering that with the wrong thing, giving people the right answer. That they know, I'm here to be in a relationship with God. That's your purpose. To walk with God, to know God. The right purpose. That part of the new life is that people can live with hope. That it's not just about whatever we're experiencing here, which sometimes can be really tough. But there's an eternity in heaven that has no sin, no sorrow, no scars, no stress, no shame. That there's hope. And that's part of the new life that we get to have and give others. There's joy, love, like real love. God is love. And that we're in the church, we're loving each other as Christ loves us. You don't find love like you find with God or you find in the church anywhere else, right? And so part of the new life of God's dream, this is God's dream, is for people to find true love, peace, healing, so many other things. Think about the difference if people really follow Jesus and obey Him, how different relationships in life are in this new life. I mean, relationships like a boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, but also friendships, parents, sibling, how much different and better it could be. You know, parenting. I need to be a better parent, but I'm such a better parent than I would be if I wasn't a Christian. God's teaching me how to raise kids, how to be a loving parent. You know, that God is teaching us, part of His dream is to help people live righteous lives. And a life lived righteously is so much better than a life lived sinfully. You know, you don't need to live in fear. You don't need to live insecure. You're saved from more mistakes than you'll ever know. You know, even if you've only been a Christian for a month, you've already made way less mistakes than you would have made. Even if you made a few, it's okay. God forgives you. You learn from it. You move on. You've already made way less mistakes than you probably would have made. You know, we're saved from probably billions of mistakes in our lifetime, in this new life. Along with that, part of God's dream is for his people to be unified, to have a unified church, to have a church of people from every single community, language, nation, tribe. The world is trying so hard to figure this out. And honestly, I don't think it's possible to figure out outside of Jesus' lordship and his kingship. There's always going to be some division, something going on somewhere that's ungodly and ununifying between people. Whether it's over race or class or party or country or wealth, something. Right? But in Jesus' church, you got to realize how miraculous this is. That we even right now at this moment have a unified fellowship of churches from 145 different countries that at different times have been at war with each other, but the disciples are at peace with each other. You know, there is nowhere else besides in the reign of God's dream and his kingdom that true unity can be found. Deeper friendship, family, you know, just true unity is found under Jesus' reign. And I think it is so cool, God's dream to bring all nations together as one nation, his kingdom, Christian people. You know, and then on top of it is heaven, where part of God's dream is that our life wouldn't just be whatever it is here, but we would spend eternity with him. That we would get to live just this purposeful, fulfilled, eternal existence with our other brothers and sisters in Christ, heroes of the faith from all eternity, and it's going to be awesome together. Have this big wedding banquet and just spend eternity worshiping God in this kingdom, this new city, this new earth. And it's, you know, I read in Gordon Ferguson's book, if parts of earth can be as amazing as they are, with the mountains, the oceans, and all this was meant to be destroyed and made new, imagine how amazing heaven's going to be. And so part of God's dream is for us to be in this incredible, eternal place. And so my challenge is, who has a better dream? Who's got a better dream than that? You know, dream big for your life, pull God into it, but we better be part of God's dream, because God's dream is better. God has an amazing dream. Who's got a bigger dream than that? Nobody. And really, where better than here to go to start fulfilling that dream than where we are right now? We can reach the world from here. I've said it before. New York is the largest city in the United States by more than double Los Angeles. New York has more billionaires than any other city in the world. 88 billionaires live in this city. Right? What does that mean? That means it's a place of influence. That there's influence here that we could use for God. 13.3 million people visit here from other countries every year. Right? There was only 200,000 about in Pentecost. We have 13.3 million coming from other countries here every year. New York City has the largest foreign-born population of any city in the world. There are more people that live here that were born somewhere else than anywhere else in the world. Talk about go make disciples of all nations. We don't have to go anywhere except our front door. Right? We could go out right here and make disciples of all nations. This overwhelms a lot of the other campus ministers when I tell them this, but there's over a million college students in our 10 regions. There are over a million college students in our 10 regions of our New York City church. Right? That's a lot of people for us to reach. You know, and so the way we got to think about this is, let's not just have people coming here just to fulfill their dream, but people coming here knowing, and that we know, that they're coming here for God's bigger dream that lasts forever. And that's really why they're coming here, and God's wanting to use us to help invite them into that dream. That God's invited us into that dream, that we're part of it ourselves. Now, I really think New York City campus could be a big light that shines to the rest of the world. You know, our campus staff got together, and we prayed and we talked, and we came up with a 3-year goal of what we want to see God do here. The North River Campus Ministry down in Atlanta did this. And they said, hey, in 3 years, we want to double the number of disciples in our ministry and a handful of other things. And after 3 years, they grew from about 110 to over 220 disciples. God worked through them and saw their dream happen. And so we came together and said, let's follow their example. And by faith, let's set a 3-year goal of what we want to see God do here. Do you want to hear it?
Yes.
You know, at the end of this chapter in Acts chapter 5, verse 32. So, it's kind of convicting. They're arrested, put in jail, and then God says, get back out there. And the sun rises, and they're out there at daybreak. That means it's sunrise. And then, of course, they get arrested again. And so the Jewish leaders are like, what do we do with these guys? We probably need to kill them. And then Gamaliel stands up. He was one of the guys. He said, look, let's listen to what he says. Verse 38, he says, therefore, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone, let them go. For if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God. His speech persuaded them. They called the apostles in and had them flogged. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. The apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ. And so from this passage, the title of our three-year goal is the unstoppable goal. From where it says here, you won't be able to stop them. Why? Not because of us, because God is with us. And because if you fight us, who are you really fighting? You'll only find yourself fighting against God. And certainly Satan in the world is going to try to stop us. But if we really believe God is with us and we act like God is with us, then nothing will be able to stop us. And so this is what we're looking to see God do in brief. First of all, growth. From now until September 2022, we want to grow to be 300 disciples in the New York City campus ministry. And we're starting the fall with 138 people. And so 3 years from now, we want to see this be 300 saved men and women on college campuses in New York City. Amen?
Amen.
Guys, let's grow to 300 disciples in the next 3 years. Leadership. By September 2022, we want to have a man and a woman campus leader in all 10 of our regions. Right now, most of them only have one or neither. So over the next 3 years, we want to have somebody, even if it's a student leader or an intern or a campus minister, somebody who says, look, I lead this group. And they're focused on that. They're gifted in that, and they're doing that. That we have a man and a woman in every region over the next 3 years. The third area is culture. You know, we thought about, hey, in 3 years, if somebody came in and visited our campus ministry, and we said, hey, what's the vibe you get? What's the culture of the ministry here? What things would we want to be said? What do we want to be known for in New York? And so here's what we said. That we want to intentionally build a ministry whose strengths are profoundly evident in these six areas. One, that every disciple is engaged in the mission and in their ministry.
Yeah.
That every disciple is in whatever capacity they can, reaching out to other people and actively part of their ministry. That means they're connected. They're using the gifts that God's given them to help build their ministry and serve their ministry. So every disciple says, look, I know my part and I'm doing it. The second area is deep relational unity. That in our leadership and every single one of our disciples, that we want to have deep relational unity. We're across boroughs, across regions, there's friendships, there's unity, there's camaraderie, there's togetherness. That we're not 10 separate ministries, but one ministry together that are unified and good relationships. The third, and this one's really important, is that we're a spiritual ministry.
Yeah.
That people walk away and go, you know what? Wow, I got a sense from talking to that one brother in Queens or that one sister in Bronx or that one, whatever, that you've just got really spiritual people here. And the people are really in their Bibles. They're really humble. They're really trying to please God. They pray. You know that the New York City ministry in one of the most worldly places in the world, that we're going to be the most spiritual place in the kingdom. That we're going to be a spiritual ministry. The fourth is for the New York campus to be a hotspot to be in the kingdom. Like Peter was the hotspot. Yo, can we just get caught in your shadow? Hey, can we just come to one of those events you guys have? The atmosphere at New York campus events is electrifying. That it's like, wow, we are full of life, energy, zeal. God is with us. We're joyful. That the New York City campus is a hotspot to be in the kingdom. Fifth, that we're graduating disciples who are successful in life and in faith. That people are graduating ready to be awesome in the workforce, awesome in their career, right? Great with a budget, great in a relationship, but also, right, evangelistically active in the singles ministry, in the marriage ministry, that we start seeing more singles and more marrieds baptized because of the campus people going into singles and married's ministries. The last thing is that we have a unified standard in areas of discipleship across our regions. That there's not one standard in one region and it's different in another. That dating could look one way here, but another way here. That quiet times are, you know, sometimes here and always here. That on core areas of discipleship, we're on the same page. And that we're really following Jesus' standard. The last thing is a couple other things. One of those is that we want to have an established and consistent Hope Worldwide or service impact. Something big, something regular and consistent that we could point at and say, this is what the New York campus does for the poor or for the needs of our community. And so we got to figure that out. And if you have ideas, please pray about it, talk about it. Let's figure that one out. And the last thing is that in 3 years, we want to be able to say that we have an established and consistent international involvement. That with either the Caribbean or Africa, that aside from giving special missions every year, that we've got some ongoing connection with an international ministry.
Yeah.
And so that is our three-year goal. That's the unstoppable goal that we're going for. Here's the thing. I think this is big, but I believe God is bigger. Yeah. I think we could do it, but only if we really rely on God. Amen. And each part does its work. How do you guys feel about this unstoppable goal?
Yeah.
Can we do this? I'll tell you this. I can't do it by myself. Our campus ministers can't do it by ourselves, but I think we together, each part doing its work, can do it.
Amen.
Here's a first practical I want to put out to you with this, is that starting this month, we want to fast on the 30th of every month for this goal. And we'll get out to you a little infographic that's got this outlined on it. And so on the 30th of every month, I want to ask you to join us in fasting, and not only to fast, but to pray with somebody over the phone or in person about the goal that day. Somebody in another region, your own ministry, whoever. But just that on the 30th of every month for the next 3 years, we fast and we pray with somebody for this goal. Amen? You know, the heart behind this goal is that God's got a big dream and we really want to make a sizable dent in it. And even if we get to 300, we're really just getting started.
Yeah.
But it would be a big step to get there.
Yeah.
And so I believe he's with us and excited about this. And we've got to each believe that God's got a big role for you to play in it. So please believe that and go for it. You know, I'm going to go through this really quick and then we're going to close out with some songs here. But, you know, just some practicals. What can you do? First thing is catch the dream. You know, I put this out here tonight. Think about it this week. Think about it tomorrow. Like, get your heart wrapped around it, your mind wrapped around it. Like, think about it. Think about what this would mean. Think about what this would be. Right? Catch the dream. Catch the dream on your heart, that it's not someone else's dream you're along with, but that it's God's dream and now it's your dream. Second, join in the prayer and fasting. Third, use your gifts, resources, talents, and opportunities to serve the kingdom and draw people to God. Right? Whatever your field is, be a light there. Whatever talents, gifts, whatever it is that is unique to you, figure out how can I find my niche in the church, in the campus ministry. Like, what's my major? What are my gifts? What can I do on my campus or in my ministry that are special to me? I think we each got to figure out, how can I use my gifts to advance the kingdom of God? Right? Whatever gifts God's given you, there's some way he could use it to advance God's kingdom. Figure that out. The fourth is be on the mission. Right? Please, in any way you can, be on the mission. Right? Even if you're crazy busy, at least share with the person you sit next to in class. Right? Like, figure out, how can you be in a Bible study? At least one. How can you bring somebody out to Bible talk? How can you, over the next 3 years, help somebody become a Christian? Right? If each one of us helped one person in 3 years become a Christian, that would double our group. Right? So certainly God can do that. How can you help someone become a Christian? Be resilient about it. Right? They were arrested, flogged, warned twice, threatened to death, and still got out there and never stopped. What stops you? Right? Is it bitterness about it? Is it frustration, stress? What stops you from sharing your faith? Fear, intimidation? We got to figure out, well, why were they so motivated and why aren't I? Something's wrong here. Right? And we got to find the motivation that they had. Right? The second to last thing here is that you need to be an irreplaceable brother or sister to a few other disciples in here. Right? Because people in here are going to be tempted to fall away, tempted to give up. And a difference maker is if they've got somebody clinging to dear life to them. Fighting for him that doesn't let him go down easy. And so you've got to be that difference maker, brother or sister, in a few people's lives. Lastly, you yourself need to never stop growing and do not quit. Here's the sad truth, is part of what will make it hardest to get to 300 is how many people will walk away from God, not how many we baptize. Right? Too many people turn their back on the vow they made that Jesus is Lord for the rest of my life. The best promise that you could keep is that Jesus is going to be Lord. And if there's anything I would, forget being on the mission, forget whatever, 3 years, please do not give up on seeking God. Do not give up on discipleship. Do not give up on being married to God. Right? And so that's something every one of us can do. God can provide a way for you out of whatever temptation you're facing. Do not quit. You know, the last slide here, that's what we can do, but that's just a small percentage compared to what we're going to need God to do. Right? We're going to need to rely on God in ways like you never have before. Right? Your prayer life, really putting things into the hand of God and really having a prayer life like you've never had before, begging God to change you, to help you, to help others, and really praying. Right? Sacrificing is part of relying on God. When we make sacrifices, we need to rely on God. Because sacrifice has question marks. We go, well, how is this going to work out? And so we need faith, and we need to trust God. And that's all part of relying on Him, is that we have faith, and we're trusting God. And that we're making sacrifices out of that faith and out of that trust. Right? Part of relying on God is going to mean persevering and being obedient even when it's really tough. That this year, next year, at some point, you're going to go through some really tough times. And that you're going to have to rely on God to persevere and still be obedient even when you're in your toughest moments of your Christianity. Right? But that means relying on God. That when you're in a really tough spot, you say, God, I need you now. Right? And then you even lean on others. Right? And we really cling to God in those moments. And the last thing I have here, I'm relying on God, is to grow this much, we're going to need some Spirit-led boldness. Yeah. That is, you're not going to be able, guys, look, a lot of the bold things I do, actually all of them, are on God's strength and not mine. I am insanely intimidated by 100% of the evangelistic things I do most of the time. It's like, God, I just need you to do this, you know? And so to grow, to overcome the things we need to, it's just going to take relying on God and going, God, I'm scared to death. I'm nervous. I'm going to mess up. I'm not eloquent, but use me. And just start talking, you know, with whoever it is or whatever the situation is, some Spirit-led boldness. You know, guys, we're aiming big because we have a big God with us doing this. God's dream is immeasurable. His power is unstoppable, and He's giving us both of those things. He's saying, look, join my dream, and here's all my power. You know, so we've got to do our part, but then we've got to rely on God, and He'll do His part. And then God's actually going to do immeasurably more than we could even imagine by His unstoppable power. You know, we heard that song at the beginning of this, and certainly people come here for a lot of dreams, but we get to be part of a dream that's much bigger. In New York, concrete jungle where dreams are made of. There's nothing you can't do because now God is with you. His grace will make you feel brand new. Now your big lights God inspires through. Guys, let's go for it and do something awesome for